I think the kids heard we were going to be asking for their allowances, and so they decided to stay away. I don't know. Good to see everyone. Welcome. I think most of us have probably seen or heard the MasterCard commercials. You're probably aware of them or seen them on TV or even in print media. And these commercials, the recurring tagline is, quote, "There are some things in life money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard," end quote. And this slogan has been used for almost 20 years. It's one of the longest advertising campaigns by any company at any time. And it's won numerous awards. It's been translated into multiple languages and shown around the world. And the campaign has even flourished under the leadership of four different MasterCard CEOs. And as many analysts note, the ads take a very simple and universal truth and applies it to real life. Now, the first commercial in that campaign was shown during the 1997 World Series. And it showed a father and a son cheering and laughing and enjoying a baseball game together. And the voice-over words to that scene were short and simple. "Two tickets, $46. Two hot dogs, two popcorns, two sodas, $27. One autographed baseball, $50. Real conversation with 11-year-old son, priceless." And then the MasterCard logo appears on the screen with the famous tagline. And that's all there was to it. And yet the commercial became one of the most successful ads ever. What's profound about the commercial, I think, is that it touches on how we might think about money and material things. As an example, the current Apple iPhone 7 costs $225 to manufacture and advertise and sell. But the retail price of the phone, and it's never discounted, is $649. And even for high-priced products, that's a huge increase. Allowing for a reasonable profit margin, an iPhone should be priced around $400. But despite its premium price, tens of millions of people around the world buy one. Why do people buy or pay such a huge price for iPhones? Because most consumers believe they add tremendous value to their lives. Now, for me, I use my iPhone 6, it's now considered an antique, as my banker. I have not set foot in a bank in years. I deposit my checks, I pay my bills, and manage my finances on it. I use my iPhone as my GPS driving guide. I read the New York Times on it. I watch movies on it. I text and I email. And I even write many parts of almost all of my Sunday messages on it. It's almost invaluable to me. I'm more than willing to pay a high premium for an iPhone. And economists say that the goal for any organization is to maximize the value of what they provide that is well above the cost to produce it. And as consumers, we don't judge a product on the cost of its component parts or the labor put into it. We judge a product based on the value it does or does not provide. And the MasterCard commercial speaks to this point. A credit card enables someone to pay for the cost of baseball tickets. And most games are fun experiences, but they're mostly forgotten or barely remembered 2 weeks later. More importantly, however, is the idea that a credit card also enables someone to reap the increased value of a baseball game. If it allows you to share meaningful time with someone you love, your daughter or your son, for example, the cost of the tickets are trivial. You'd gladly spend thousands if they helped create valuable lifetime memories. As Warren Buffett, who most of us know as one of the world's most successful businessmen, says, quote, "Price is what you pay. Value is what you get," end quote. And that frames my message theme for this morning, or this month, not this morning, this month of Thanksgiving. How can sharing the three primary things we own in life, our treasure, our time, and our talent, how can sharing those things help us have a stronger attitude of gratitude? And yes, we should each be grateful for these three life gifts we have. But more importantly, how does sharing these things help us live, as I said, with an attitude of gratitude? Now, Jennifer and Dave just spoke to us about the importance of today's celebration. Today is our annual event to share and pledge our treasure in order to ensure that this place will be well-funded for another year. As we think about that, I think today is a great reason to celebrate, and I hope we'll celebrate later in the Quimby Room together. But I also understand how some people might think their church's Pledge Sunday is not one to celebrate. In some churches, Pledge Sunday might as well be called Stick Up Sunday. In those churches, the minister and other leaders command members to part with large sums of their hard-earned money. At one church that I won't name, on a recent Pledge Sunday they held, the minister literally shouted at his congregation, "You are all going to think I'm crazy," he said, "but God says to give again. God says to give everything. Don't hold anything back." The church band then played very upbeat music, and this minister shouted again, "God says, run to the altar." And members surged forward and gave not just lots of money, but their expensive shoes and watches and even their diamond jewelry. And a church like that employs guilt and obligation and religious bribery to cajole people into giving. "God will withhold her blessings if you don't give," they tell their congregants. "She'll reward you if you give a lot." But an important question needs to be asked. What motivates such church members to give? Is it because they deeply want to give? Is it because they value and are grateful for all the things they gain from being a member? Or are they giving out of compulsion and a desire not to look bad in the eyes of others? Or perhaps they give to somehow gain admission to heaven. Fortunately, celebration or pledge Sundays are not like that here, nor is any other Sunday. We trust one another to give according to what our hearts and our minds honestly lead us to give. No guilt, no judgment, no false bribery. But if we use our hearts and our minds to guide us in what we will annually pledge here, I encourage us each to remember the universal truth found in those MasterCard commercials. That advertising message speaks about our treasure, our money, and our material things. But it also importantly addresses the idea of gratitude for our countless, priceless blessings. Such are the things that money can't buy, like contentment or health or love or a life legacy or a life meaning and purpose. And just like those rewards, so too are the blessings that we receive here, the kinds of things which money makes happen, but which are of tremendous intangible value. In that regard, we might reframe the MasterCard commercials in a way that speaks to the gathering at Northern Hills. Perhaps a commercial here might go, "Building maintenance and repairs, $10,000. Office supplies, internet and telephone, $7,250. Sunday morning music supplies, guest speaker fees, and Quimby room hospitality supplies, $6,795. Staff payroll and benefits, $85,000. Empowering and changing lives for the better, priceless. Or regarding our charitable outreach work, a commercial might say, lunch food for 125 children, $256. Gasoline to transport the food and the supplies and the 12 volunteers to the feeding location, $30. Cost of staff time to plan and implement the outreach, $185. Cooking for, serving, loving on, and eating lunch with 125 kids who have no place to call home. Priceless. And these are but two examples of many other MasterCard-like commercials that could be produced about us. The cost of things provided here are substantial. It costs a lot to heat and cool our building. My salary and health insurance make up approximately 35% of the 2016 budget. The supplies we use in our office, the computer and copier we use to help make our Sundays happen, they're not cheap. But the most important line item in our budget, one that's impossible to figure out or to calculate, is the intangible value this congregation gains as a result of the money that's spent. What's the value of the experiences you have here? What's the value of the friends you've made here and the time you spend with them? What value do you place on the feelings or experiences you might gain from serving on a committee or teaching our children or managing hospitality or volunteering with us at the Free Store or the Lighthouse Center for Youth or Upspring or Interfaith Hospitality Network? How much value do you apply to the insights or ways you might be moved by a message from me or a guest speaker? How valuable to you is Michael's music that entertains you and inspires you each week? How valuable are the many ways this congregation affects our lives? How GNH challenges us to listen to our better angels? How it prompts our compassion impulses? How it enables us to serve the least of those in our society? Now, I imagine all of these things are priceless. Many of them are hopefully invaluable to you. They are things that have helped determine who you are and how you think and how you strive to be at home or at work or at play. And our budget for the current year, for right now, 2016, is approximately $150,000. It will likely be higher in 2017. And as Dave reported, we're losing income from no longer renting our space. But whatever the 2017 budget is, I believe with all of my heart that everything we offer here, everything we do here in a year's time, that all we do for ourselves and our families and our children and those who live on the margins of society, that all of those things add up to a year's value far, far in excess of a $150,000 budget. And if that's the case, then how do we determine what to pledge according to the cost plus extra value that we receive? And the Unitarian Universalist Association has prepared a tool that helps anyone reasonably determine what to pledge based on two factors. First, what can you or your family afford to give based on annual income? And second, what is the value you or your family believe you get from this community? And if you will, look inside your programs and look at the fair share table that's an insert in your programs. And as you'll note on one side of the fair share table, there's a description of all of the various levels of giving that you could categorize yourself. If you consider yourself, or if one is a supporter of the gathering at Northern Hills, that means the congregation is a significant part of his or her life. At the next level, one is a sustainer of the congregation if it is a central part of one's life. And a person is a visionary if the congregation has a unique or special importance in one's life. And finally, one is a transformer if he or she is fully and totally committed to the success of the congregation. Now, once you determine what the gathering at Northern Hills means to you, which is the extra value you believe you get here, it's then a matter of turning the page and finding your monthly income level and pledging the fair share percent of that income based on your level of commitment to the church. For example, if you look at that table, someone who considers himself or herself to be a sustainer and who makes, let's say, $50,000 annually, can see that the fair share table recommends a pledge of 4% of monthly income, or $160 a month. That person has reasonably determined this congregation enjoys a central role in his or her life, and that, most likely, he or she believes the value of its services exceeds the costs. And a visionary or transforming giver believes the value received greatly exceeds the budgeted costs. The beauty of this fair share table is that you determine how much value you believe you get here. The board has no idea what category you place yourself, and I don't either. Only our treasurer knows who pledges, and that is kept strictly confidential. Now, ministers can and should, like I'm doing here now, speak to the importance of supporting a community like ours. But ministers should never have access to church bank accounts, nor should they know who gives and the amounts given. In my eyes, every member and every visitor here is equal, no matter what they give. And I'm able to treat everyone with the same level of respect and love precisely because I have no idea, and frankly don't care, who gives and pledges and the amounts. The ultimate point of my message is to remind each of us that money is a tool by which we pay for goods and services. Now, as a tool, however, it serves its purpose objectively, but without feeling and heart. Money is a great tool for determining the cost of things, but it's imperfect in determining the intangible value of things. My encouragement for us all is that when we consider the gratitude for all that we have, for family, for friends, this congregation, for life itself, we cannot just think of the costs. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can pay for a minister and a church building, but it cannot create a beloved and inspirational community. If you live in a house that's also a nurturing home because of the people who dwell in it, you have a thing of priceless value. If we are a part of a congregation that inspires and deeply cares for others, then we are a part of something with priceless value. I encourage us each to contemplate the value of this community and then use the fair share table to pledge accordingly. And if we do that, I believe the gratitude we have for all things in life will lead us to greater contentment and a realization of the priceless wealth that we already possess. And I wish you each much peace and joy. And while Michael plays some soft background music now, let us just